Yeah, when the recorded voice comes, we can begin. I suppose I'm audible again. We now come to the second part of the chapter, and we have what I think quite an interesting transition from Goethe to Bloom. That's where we're coming now. So we hear it.
Pussycat Free whistled, imitating the boys in the football field to show what a great person she was. And then she cried, "Gertie, Gertie, we're going. Come on, we can see from farther up." Gertie had an idea, one of love's little ruses. She slipped a hand into her kerchief pocket and took out the wadding and waved in reply, of course, without letting him, and then slipped it back. "Wonder if he's too far to." She rose. Was it goodbye? No. She had to go, but they would meet again there, and she would dream of that till then, tomorrow, of her dream of yester-eve. She drew herself up to her full height. Their souls met in a last lingering glance, and the eyes that reached her heart, full of a strange shining, hung enraptured on her sweet flower-like face. She half smiled at him wanly, a sweet, forgiving smile, a smile that verged on tears. And then they parted. Slowly, without looking back, she went down the uneven strand to Sissy, to Edie, to Jackie, and Tommy Caffrey, to little baby Boardman. It was darker now, and there were stones and bits of wood on the strand and slippy seaweed. She walked with a certain quiet dignity, characteristic of her, but with care and very slowly, because Gertie MacDowell was tight boots. No, she's lame. Oh.
Good. Sissy Caffrey whistled, she always does that, imitating the boys in the football field to show what great person she was. And then she cried, "Gertie, Gertie, we're going, come on, we can see from farther up." That is the fireworks. And of course, we can see from farther up. It's very hard not to think that you could see farther up just before. Then Gertie had an idea, one of love's little ruses. She slipped the hand into her kerchief pocket and took out the wadding and waved in reply to the boy, of course, without letting him, and then slipped it back. And then the next sentence is unique. It's the only one in the Gertie part that is direct interior monologue. "I wonder if he's too far too." So far we haven't had that. It was always indirect, but here now we have. So there's a kind of a transition when Bloom's language is taken up by her, and we already heard Bloom at it again. So it's a sort of dovetailing passage. "Wonder if he's too far too." She rose. Was it goodbye? No. She had to go, but they would meet again there, and she would dream of that till then, tomorrow, of her dream of yester-eve. And that's the last romantic upbeat. She drew herself up to her full height. And then it becomes very dramatic. "Their souls met in a last lingering glance, and the eaves that have reached her heart, full of a strange shining, hung enraptured on her sweet flower-like face." Even Gertie is now flower-like. Like Bloom. She half smiled at him wanly, a sweet, forgiving smile, a smile that burst on tears. And then, and I see the whole drama in it, and then they parted. All the tragedy of life is enwrapped in that. They parted. And now we get what for me is one of the most interesting imitations of style. Gertie has been seek him all the time, showing her hair, her hat, her legs. But that she has to get up. It's time to leave. Slowly, without looking back, she went down the uneven strand. And of course, the beach, the strand, is not the flat surface. And if I'm right, she has shoes with some kind of heels, not very high perhaps, but something not ideal for walking. She went down the uneven strand to Sissy, to Edie, to Jackie, and Tommy Caffrey. It's almost, you can see her careful step. Tom Caffrey, two little baby boardmen. It was darker now, and there were stones and bit of wood on the strand, or not things that are good for elegant walking. Wood on the strand and slippy seaweed. She walked with a certain quiet dignity characteristic of her, but with care. And very slowly, because Gertie McDowell was, and then we pan over to Bloom, tight boots. He thinks, no, she's lame. Oh. And so she walks away, she's lame, meaning she has a defect. And we now know, at this moment, not before, why she is sitting when the others are running. She said, the others can run like horses, but she could sit. The others can run, but she cannot run because there was a bicycle accident, we heard. And now it comes out, and that means the poor girl is even worse off with a limp that seems to be perpetual, not just a slight thing, it's a defect that may be lasting, which makes her chances of her husband all even. Now we know it, and now looking back, and whenever you read this the second time, you can understand why she is sitting. She's presenting herself, as we all do, of course, to from our best perspective, things like that. She's lame. Oh. And you can see that oh is not the ecstatic oh from the climax, but it's a kind of pitiful oh. Excuse me. Here now, it's perhaps time to mention something. As you notice, we're now moving from Gertie and her ecstatic prose to Bloom, after the climax. So the chapter falls into two parts. And this has been happening for several chapters. We had the Wandering Rocks, where there were different scenes from other places were inserted. So we had a main story and the other interpolations. So it worked on two tracks. We didn't see them. The Sirens episode had this opening, this overture, two pages, and then the whole story was told again. So in some way, it is told twice. Once very short, in a kind of, I say, overture fashion, and then the Cyclops chapter had the story of Bloom and the Citizen with those interpolations that took you somewhere else, to Irish mythology or to a boxing match and things like that. And this chapter is also of two parts, but here it is not alternative as before, but it is first Gertie, then Bloom. So all the middle sections that we have been reading are of two parts. And now the rest now is Bloom. Afterwards, we now go over to Bloom, and you will remember or will see that after the ecstatic, romantic, enraptured prose and all the florid, we have a relatively neutral, sober thing. It's the after effect. After a climax, things seem to be a bit a bit dull, and we have usually short sentences, and we have now here Bloom's interior monologue. We haven't had that for a long time. There was some in silence last night, and remember, it was very difficult for us to get into it at first in the early part. But now it's almost like something we're familiar with, and that's easy to read, and the rest of the chapter is easy to read. And it is, as I say, low-key after all the ecstatic moments. It is colourless, it's dull, as against the florid prose of before. And we have now, we're over now with Bloom. So we listen to it.
Mr. Bloom watched her as she limped away. Poor girl. That's why she's left on the shelf and the others did a sprint. Thought something was wrong by the cut of her jib. Jilted beauty. A defect is 10 times worse in a woman, but makes them polite. Glad I didn't know it when she was on show. Hot little devil all the same. Wouldn't mind. Curiosity, like a nun or a negress or a girl with glasses. That squinty one is delicate. Near a monthly's, I expect. Makes them feel ticklish. I have such a bad headache today. Where did I put the letter? Yes, all right. All kinds of crazy longings. Licking pennies. Girl in Tranquilla Convent, that nun told me, liked to smell rock oil. Virgins go mad in the end, I suppose. Sister, how many women in Dublin have it today? Martha, she, something in the air. That's the moon. But then, why don't all women menstruate at the same time? With the same moon, I mean. Depends on the time they were born, I suppose. Or all start scratched and get out of step. Sometimes Molly and Millie together. Anyhow, I got the best of that. Damn glad I didn't do it in the bath this morning over her silly I will punish you letter. Made up for that tram driver this morning. That gouger McCoy stopping me to say nothing. And his wife, engagement in country valise, voice like a pickaxe. Thankful for small mercies. Cheap too, yours for the asking. Because they want it themselves, their natural craving. Shoals of them every evening, poured out of offices. Reserve better. Don't want it, they throw it at you. Catch them alive, oh. Pity they can't see themselves. They dream of well-filled hose. Where was that? Ah, yes. Mutoscope pictures in Capel Street for men only. Peeping Tom. Willie's hat and what the girls did with it. Do they snapshot those girls? Or is it all a fake? Lingerie, does it? Felt for the curves inside her déshabillé. Excite them also when they're, I'm all clean, come and dirty me. And they like dressing one another for the sacrifice. Millie delighted with Molly's new blouse. At first, put them all on to take them all off. Molly, why I bought her the violet garters. Us too, the tie he wore, his lovely socks and turned up trousers. He wore a pair of gaiters the night that first we met. His lovely shirt was shiny beneath his, what, of jet. Say a woman loses a charm with every pin she takes out. Pinned together. Oh, Mary lost the pin of her. Dressed up to the nines for somebody. Fashion, part of their charm. Just changes when you're on the track of the secret. Except the East, Mary, Martha, now as then. No reasonable offer refused. She wasn't in a hurry either. Always off to a fellow when they are. They never forget an appointment. Out on spec, probably. They believe in chance because like themselves. And the others, inclined to give her an odd dig. Girlfriends at school, arms around each other's necks, or with 10 fingers locked, kissing and whispering secrets about nothing in the convent garden. Nuns with whitewashed faces, cool coif, and their rosaries going up and down. Vindictive, too, for what they can't get. Hard work. Be sure now and write to me, and I'll write to you now, won't you? Molly and Josie Powell. Till Mr. Wright comes along, then meet once in a blue moon. Tableau. Oh, look who it is, for the love of God. How are you at all? What have you been doing with yourself? Kiss and delighted to kiss to see you. Picking holes in each other's appearance. You're looking splendid. Sister souls showing their teeth at one another. And many of you left? Wouldn't lend each other a pinch of salt. Ah.
So you see, that's even going. Nothing particularly difficult. And I said, the interior monologue now is almost something very familiar that we can relatively easily follow. Tight boots, Mr. Bloom watched her as she limped away, and she's now limping out of the picture. Now, by, again, some coincidence of the English language, the word to limp happens to be identical with the adjective limp, and you know, after erotic excitement, some part of the male anatomy goes limp. And so this is here, and the prose also becomes limp and relatively unexcited, relatively flat. So that is something. Mr. Bloom watched her as she limped away. Poor girl. That's why she's left on the shelf. And the others did a sprint. Now he understands, as we do. She cannot walk, she cannot run. That's why she sat, and he, in a way, understand. There is a kind of understanding between the two. Thought something was wrong by the cut of her jib, by her appearance. Jilted beauty. And again, Bloom guesses, because we know that Gertie has been jilted by the boy with a bicycle. And then, a defect is 10 times worse in a woman. You may remember when Gertie was described, she was described as Greekly perfect. And now in the second thing, we have a defect. So everything is really toned down. But there are many links between the two parts of the chapter. That makes him polite. Glad. I didn't know it when she was on show. Of course, it would have spoiled the romance, things like that. Hot little devil, all the same. Remember, she said she had raised the devil in him. Now he thinks she's hot little devil, all the same. Wouldn't mind. Curiosity, like a nun or a negress, or a girl with glasses. These were all unusual things. Nuns were around, but you hardly met them. Negress black people were practically non-existent, or a girl with glasses, and you're right, at that time, that was considered a disadvantage, but it can also be an added attraction. The squinty one is delicate. That is Edie Boardman, who had a squint. Now, Bloom seems to like this as something a little bit out of the ordinary. And then Bloom thinks, near her monthlies, I expect. And Bloom is right, because Gertie felt that thing was coming on, it was a nuisance. And so Bloom, you know, intuits that. He can't know it, of course, as a monthly. Near her monthlies, I expect, makes them feel ticklish. I have such a bad headache today. That is what Martha Clifford wrote him in the morning, and Bloom also thought, headache, maybe she has her monthlies. But I put that letter now. Where is the letter she wrote him? He put it in one of the pockets. Yes, all right. Then he thinks about women, all kinds of crazy longings. Licking penis. And I told you that this chapter was interrupted the publication because it was obscene, menstruation, masturbation, and all that kind of thing. So that was something very strong to take at the time. Girl in Tranquilla Convent, she turned, he remembered her earlier on, that nun told me, like to smell rock oil. You have all kinds of crazy smelling. Virgins go mad in the end, I suppose. Sister, when you're a nun, you become sister something. How many women in Dublin have you today? Martha, the letter, and he doesn't know. We don't know. She, something in the air. That's the moon. And of course, the moon is connected with menstruation. It's called after the moon. Menstruation, that's the moon. Stephen thought of it too long ago, the moon. And then a typical Bloom thought, if it's the moon that causes it, that would be all at the same time. But then why don't all women menstruate at the same time with the same moon? I mean, well, it depends on the time they were born, I suppose. Or all start scratch, then get out of step. So it's a typical kind of Bloom curiosity. Sometimes Molly and Millie together. Anyhow, I got the best of that. Damn glad I didn't do it in the bath this morning over a silly I will punish you letter. When you got the letter from Martha, it obviously excited him. I can't really see very much that will excite me, but that's not Bloom's problem. And he thought he might do it in the bath. Obviously he thought, and didn't do it, masturbate. I've made up for that tram driver this morning. Remember in the fifth chapter, Bloom was going to look at a woman stepping up to a carriage and hoping to see her ankles and was frustrated by the tram. And now he had an opportunity to see much more. So in some way for him, that is a relatively positive experience. He got some gratification. Made up for the tram driver this morning. That gouger, McCoy, stopping me to say nothing. It was McCoy who talked to him when Bloom wanted to look at that woman getting up. The tram stopped it. And his wife engaged me in the country, so he remembers that McCoy talked about his wife, and McCoy is supposed to borrow releases that comes back. Voice like a pickaxe. She's not as good as Molly. Thankful for small mercies. And that's a kind of a philosophy in life. Have to be thankful for small mercies. There are too many disappointments, but you get some small gratification. Cheap too. Yours for the asking. Because they want it themselves. Their natural craving. Shoals of them. Shoals is a group of them. Shoals, fish come in shoals. Shoals of them every evening poured out of offices. Which are better. Don't want it. Don't want it. They shove through a dew. Catch them alive, oh. That is from a song, I think. Molly Malone. Catch them alive, oh, the fish. Oh, pity they can't see themselves. A dream of well-filled hose. Hose is a leg wear. Hosiery is stockings. And as I often say, you couldn't see stockings in real life. With Gertie, that was an exception. A dream of well-filled hose, women's legs. Where was that? Ah, yes. Mutas go picked in Cable Street. There was, before the film came on, they had mutoscopes. It's silent and you can look. And what it was is a series. Oh, yeah, you can see a picture here on the upper right. You would look in and you would turn a handle. And then, of course, there are series of photographs. And the effect is a sort of film effect. They have discovered this. And there was so this is kind of voyeuristic. Naturally, they had usually girls on it. So, and there was one in Cable Street. For men only. Peeping Tom. Are you familiar with Peeping Tom? Peeping Tom is a voyeur, and it's from a story of Lady Godiva, who had to ride, in order to save the city, had to ride naked through the town, but she had long hair. But Peeping Tom was looking at her. So that is the English for the Peeping Tom. And Willie's hat and what the girls did with it is probably a title of one of these mutoscope films. Usually look through a keyhole what the girls are doing with Willie's hat. Do they snapshot those girls, or is it all a fake? Through Morandi Bombers. Lingerie does it, underclothes in French. And that reminds him of the book, The Streets of Sin, where he felt for the curves inside her déshabillé. Excites them, also when they are, I'm all clean, come dirty me. That is probably what you say to children. I'm clean, come and dirty me, because his ejection had, of course, an effect. And they like dressing each other for the sacrifice. Millie, delighted with Molly's new blouse at first, put them all on to take them all off, clothes and things like that. The chapter is full of sentences when you put them all on and take them all off, up and then down, like the whole chapter. Why I bought her the violet gorgeous, Molly Bloom bought a violet gorgeous. Us two, the men too, the tie he wore, his lovely socks and turned up trousers. Boylan had a tie, lovely socks and turned up trousers. You know, trousers can be turned up. That was probably a new fashion. And then Bloom remembers a poem, a song. He wore a pair of gaiters the night he first we met. Gaiters are covers for shoes, gamashen, elegant. That night that first we met, his lovely shirt was shining beneath his what of jet. Jet is some jewellery. So he remembers a song about a well-dressed man. He doesn't remember all of it. His what of jet. Say, a woman loses a charm with every pin she takes out, pinned together. And you may remember that women were wearing a lot of pins to keep things together, pinned together. Oh, Mary lost the pin of her drawers. That is a song, a somewhat bawdy song that Bloom remembers from the fifth chapter, I believe. Dressed up to the nines, to perfection, for somebody. Fashion, part of their charm. So you see, Bloom too now thinks of fashion and women in a different way. So they have very similar themes. Fashion, part of their charm. Just changes when you're on the track of the secret. Fashion changes. Except the East, Mary Martha, now as then. In the East, women, I think still to this day, do not change. They have their classical dress and that's it. And they don't have a new pair of gowns, everything. Martha and Mary are the two women that you saw in the painting together with Jesus. They're from the Bible. And of course, they will be dressed today exactly as they were 200 years ago. No reasonable offer refused. She wasn't in a hurry either. Always off to a fellow when they are. They never forget an appointment. Out on spec, probably. She's probably out to be seen, spectacle. And in a way, we know that Gertie dressed up in order perhaps to run into her boyfriend, who did, in fact, jilt her. They believe in chance because, like themselves, and the others inclined to give her an old dig. Bloom realized that the girls were not too friendly to each other. He sensed it. Girlfriends at school, arms round each other's necks, or with 10 fingers locked, kissing and whispering secrets about nothing in the convent garden. nuns with whitewashed faces, cool coif, that's the stuff here, and rosaries, going up and down. Vindictive too, for what they can't get. Obviously, nuns, there are certain things that nuns cannot get, and they are vindictive, always according to Bloom. Okay. Barbed wire. Remember earlier on, Bloom thought it was a nun that invented barbed wire. And that is something we still don't know where this rumor is from. Be sure now and write to me. And I'll write to you. Now, won't you? Molly and Josie Powell. Josie Powell is Mrs. Breen that Bloom talked to at the beginning of the 8th chapter. She was Josie Powell. And Molly and her were good friends until Bloom got engaged with Molly. Till Mr. Wright comes along. Then meet once in a blue moon. Tableau. Something. And remember, she too thought of tableau. Oh, look, who is it, for the love of God, when they meet? How are you at all? What have you been doing with yourself? Kiss, delighted to kiss, to see you. Peeking holes in each other's appearance. You're looking splendid. Sister souls showing their teeth at one another. And that is, in some way, what did happen in the first part. How many have you left? Teeth. Wouldn't lend each other a pinch of salt. So now Bloom sees everything from his side in a relatively sober mood with very, very short sentences, different from what we had before. And then you have an R, and that's not ecstatic, but sort of R, the different kind of tone it has. Good.
Devils they are, but that's coming on them, dark, devilish appearance. Molly often told me, feel things a ton weight, scratch the sole of my foot, all that way, all that's exquisite. Feel it myself too. Good to rest once in a way. Wonder if it's bad to go with them then. Safe in one way. Turns milk, makes fiddle strings snap. Something about withering plants I read in a garden. Besides, they say, if the flower withers she wears, she's a flirt. All are. Dare say she felt I. When you feel like that, you often meet what you feel. Like me or what? Dress they look at. Always know a fella courting. Collars and cuffs. Well, cocks and lions do the same, and stags. Same time, I prefer a tie undone or something. Trousers. Suppose I, when I was... No. Gently does it. Dislike rough and tumble. Kiss in the dark and never tell. Saw something in me. Wonder what. Sooner have me as I am than some poet chap with bear's grease, plastery hair, lovelock over his Dexter optic, to age gentleman and literary... Ought to attend to my appearance, my age. Didn't let her see me in profile. Still, you never know. Pretty girls and ugly men marrying, Beauty and the Beast. Besides, I can't be so if Molly took off her hat to show her hair. Wide brim, bought to hide her face. Meeting someone might know her, bend down or carry a bunch of flowers to smell. Hair, strong in rush. 10 bob I got for Molly's combings when we were on the rocks in Holler Street. Why not? Suppose he gave her money. Why not? All the prejudice. She's worth 10, 15, more. A pound. What? I think so. All that for nothing. Bold hand. Mrs. Marion. Did I forget to write address on that letter like the postcard I sent to Flynn? And the day I went to Dreamy's without a necktie. Wrangle with Molly it was, put me off. No, I remember. Richie Goulding. He's another. Weighs on his mind. Funny, my watch stopped at 4:30. Dust. Shark liver oil they used to clean. Could do it myself, save. Was that just when he... She... Oh, he did. Into her. She did. Done. Ah.
Good. devils they are when that's coming on them. Still about menstruation. Dark, devilish appearance. Molly often told me, feel things a ton weight. Scratch the sole of my foot. Oh, that way. Oh, that's exquisite. Feel it myself too. Good to rest once in a way. Wonder if it's bad to go with them then. Safe in one way. There wouldn't be any conception. And now there were all these views and rumors and God knows what. Turns milk, makes fiddle strings snap. Something about withering plants. The plants wither. I read about withering plants. I read in a garden that the plants with all the kind of supposed effects. Besides, they say if the flower withers, she wears, she's a flirt. And you talk, these are all thoughts that were not, that were sort of taboo, that people didn't talk or write about. And say you find nothing in earlier literature about that kind of thing. And yet it's something that happens a few days in life, and is a nuisance and all of that. So Joyce, again, put the spotlight on something that everybody knew about, but nobody had really brought it out. All are, dare say she felt. When you feel like that, you often meet what you feel. Liked me or what? She did like him, we know from that. I mean, she did like him. She liked the projection of him. Dress they look at. Always know a fellow courting you. Collars and cuffs. Collars were the cuffs, were the things in front of the shirt sleeves. Collars and cuffs were also upper class kind of things. Well, cocks and lions do the same thing, and stags, animals too, male animals. Same time, might prefer a tie undone or something. Often perfection isn't so good. Trousers, suppose I, when I was, I don't quite know what he refers to. No, gently does it. I think he may wonder whether she noticed what he was doing. Dislike, rough and tumble. Kiss in the dark and never tell. The saying was, a gentleman kisses but doesn't tell. Others brag about it, but not. Kiss in the dark and never tell. So something in me, wonder what, and that's true. Sooner have me as I am than some poet chap with bear's grease, blustery hair, Lovelock over his Dexter optics. Obviously, poets and artists were dressed differently. With bear's grease, I suppose that's a kind of pomade. Blustery hair, Lovelock over his Dexter optic. That is a kind of student, his right eye, Dexter optic. So they would have fancy hair. Then he remembers the letter from Martha, which he advertised to aid gentlemen in literary. The letter was announced to aid a gentleman in literary work. To aid gentle literary, yes, that's what it is. Ought to attend to my appearance, my age. Didn't let her see me in profile. And you know, she talked about it. He wondered whether he had an aquiline nose, but he didn't see it. And he, of course, seems was careful not to let him see in profile because of the supposed distinctive Jewish noses, probably. Remember how they made fun of it in Cyclops. Still, you never know. Pretty girls and ugly men marrying. Beauty and the Beast. Besides, I can't be so if Molly, he can't be so ugly if Molly, his wife, took off her hat to show her hair, that she did. Wide brim, bought to hide her face, meeting someone might know her, she looked under the brim of her hat, bend down or carry a bunch of flowers to smell. Hair strong in rut when you're excited. But 10 bob I got for Molly's combings when we were on the rocks in Holler Street. When they were in Holler Street, on the rocks means in bad financial shape. Molly sold her hair. You can sell hair for, I suppose, for wigs and things like that. When we were on the rocks in Holler Street, on the rocks here means without money. But before that, she was sitting, as Bloom is, on the rocks. So that expression can mean several things. Why not? Suppose he, Boylan, gave her money. Why not? All the prejudice. She's worth 10, 50 more a pound. All that for nothing. Bold hand, he wrote in a bold hand a letter, Mrs. Marion. Did I forget to write the address on that letter, like the postcard I sent to Flynn? So it seems that she almost saw him writing a letter to Martha and he pretended it was a postcard. And the day I went to Drimmis, that's an insurance, without a necktie. Don't forget, the dress code was very strict. You did wear a tie, you did wear a hat and all of that. But it was, once he forgot it, rang with Molly, it was, put me off. No, I remember. Richie Goulding, we saw him in Sirens. I remember they had a meal together. He's another. Weighs on his mind. Then, funny, my watch stopped at 4:30. His watch stopped. Dust. And he thinks it's dusty. Shark liver oil they used to clean. Could do it myself. Of course, watches were brought to watchmakers to clean, and you could do it yourself. Safe. Was that just when he, she, the watch stopped at 4:30? Was that just when they started doing whatever? I think, I don't think so. Boylan was a bit late, about 15 minutes, and I, at 4:30, I don't know what happened. But we never know, we have no idea. And then he thinks of them, yes, he did, oh, he did, into her. She did, done. Ah, and that's another one of the disappointing ahs.
Mr. Bloom, with careful hand, recomposed his wet shirt. Oh, Lord, that little limping devil. Begins to feel cold and clammy. After effect, not pleasant. Still, you have to get rid of it some way. They don't care. Compliment it, perhaps. Go home to nicey bread and milky and say night prayers with the kiddies. Well, aren't they? See her as she is. Spoil all. Must have the stage setting, the rouge, costume, position, music. The name, too. Amours of actresses. Nell Gwynn, Mrs. Bracegirdle, Maud Branscombe. Curtain up, moonlight, silver effulgence. Maiden discovered with pensive bosom. Little sweetheart, come and kiss me. Still, I feel the strength it gives a man. That's the secret of it. Good job I let off there behind coming out of Dignam's. Cider, that was. Otherwise, I couldn't have. Makes you want to sing after. La cause a santa rata. Suppose I spoke to her. What about? Bad plan, however, if you don't know how to end the conversation. Ask them a question, they ask you another. Good idea if you're in a cart. Wonderful, of course, if you say good evening and you see she's on for it. Good evening. Oh, but the dark evening on the Appian Way, I nearly spoke to Mrs. Clinch. Oh, thinking she was, phew. Girl in Mead Street that night. All the dirty things I made her say. All wrong, of course. My arcs, she called it. It's so hard to find one who... Oh, If you don't answer when they solicit, it must be horrible for them till they harden. And kiss my hand when I gave her the extra 2 shillings. Parrots. Press the button and the bird will squeak. Wish she hadn't called me sir. Oh, her mouth in the dark. And you a married man with a single girl. That's what they enjoy. Taking a man from another woman. Or even hear of it. Different of me. Glad to get away from other chap's wife. Eating off his cold plate. Chap in the Burton today spitting back gum-chewed gristle. French letter still in my pocketbook. Cause of half the trouble. But might happen sometime. I don't think. Come in, always prepared. I dreamt. What? Worst is beginning. How they change the venue when it's not what they like. Ask you, do you like mushrooms? Because she once knew a gentleman who... Or ask you what someone was going to say when he changed his mind and stopped. Yet if I went the whole hog, say, I want to, something like that, because I did, she too, offend her, then make it up. Pretend to want something awfully, then cry off for her sake. Flatter them. She must have been thinking of someone else all the time. What harm? Must, since she came to the use of reason, he, and he. First kiss does the trick, the propitious moment. Something inside them goes pop. Mushy-like, tell by their eye, on the sly. First thoughts are best. Remember that till their dying day. Molly, Lieutenant Mulvey that kissed her under the Moorish wall beside the gardens. 15, she told me, but her breasts were developed. Fell asleep then. After Glen Cree dinner, that was when we drove home the Featherbed Mountain, gnashing her teeth in sleep. Lord Mayor had his eye on her too. Val Dillon, apoplectic.
As you see, the language is relatively flat. Things. Mr. Bloom, with careful hand, recomposed his wet shirt. Obviously, he has made himself dirty. And again, you can see that was the reason why this chapter, the publication, was stopped. That was legally obscene. But it was his wet shirt. Oh, Lord, that little limping devil. And you can see what the limping devil is. And that reinforces what I said about as she limped away. So Joyce plays with it. It's not something you can easily do in translation. Begins to feel cold and clammy. After effect, not pleasant. Still, you have to get rid of it some way. They don't care. Complimented, perhaps. After all, it's a tribute to their attraction. Go home to nicey bread and milk and say night prayers with the kiddies. Then they go home to their families. Well, aren't they? See her as she is, spoil all. It's sometimes good. Not must have the stage setting, the rouge, costume, position, music, the name too, amour of actresses. Actresses, of course, usually had bad reputations. They were easy targets. The name too, amour of actresses. And of course, amour, French is always better. And these are Nell Gwynn. She was a famous, I think, mistress of one of the King Charles or something. Mrs. Bracegirdle was a famous actress. Maud Branscombe too. So these were famous actors. And of course, they either had an active love life or people thought so. Curtain up. He now imagines a kind of setting. Moonlight, silvery effulgence. Remember these, this is from the speech in the 7th chapter, when they talked about the kind of kitsch Irish landscape. Moonlight, silver effulgence, maiden discovered with pensive bosom. That's also something from what he read, pensive bosom. Little sweetheart, come and kiss me. So I feel the strength it gives a man. That's the secret of it. And then, good job, I let off there behind coming out of Dignams. In other words, he relieved himself by urinating before he went to the beach. Otherwise, his action might have been more difficult. Cider, that was. Otherwise, I couldn't have. Makes you want to sing after. La cause est santa. This is from the opera, the Huguenot. La causa est santa. The cause is holy to justify bloodshed. And then the broom, practically. Suppose I spoke to her. What about? Because, as you see, they didn't speak to each other. He spoke to Sissy Caffrey. What about? Bad plan, however, if you don't know how to end the conversation. What do you say? Ask them a question, they ask you another. Good idea if you're in a cart, if you're stuck somehow. Wonderful, of course, if you say, good evening. And then you see she's on for it. Good evening. Sometimes you realize that it does click. Oh, but the dark evening in the Appian Way. I nearly spoke to Mrs. Clinch. Oh, thinking she was. And then you remember the evening in the Appian Way. There's one in Rome, but there's one in Dublin, in the suburb. And of course, these suburbs had trees, and it was dark, and nobody was in the street. So certain encounters could take place quickly in those suburbs. I nearly spoke to Mrs. Clinch, thinking she was. Phew! Then a girl in Meath Street that night he met. All the dirty things I made her say, all wrong, of course. So he was talking dirty one night. So these are the adventures. My ox, she called it. It's so hard to find one who. Oh. And if you don't answer when they solicit, must be terrible for them till they harden. And that's again a typical Bloom thought, prostitutes when they solicit, when they approach you, which was against the law, of course, and you don't answer when she's rejected. It must be awful for them. And you see how humane Bloom is. He doesn't just discredit prostitution or anything like that. He realizes these are human beings that have their feeling and it must be hard to be rejected. Horrible for them, pardon. And kissed my hand when I gave her the extra 2 shillings. Parrots, a papagai. Press the button and the bird will speak. Squeak. Wish she hadn't called me sir, so he remembers some encounter. Quick ones. Oh, her mouth in the dark. And you a married man with a single girl? That's what they enjoy, taking a man from another woman. Or even hear of it. Different with me. Glad to get away from other chap's wife. Eating off his cold plate. And then eating off a cold plate reminds him of looking into that cheap eating place in chapter 8, where the men were eating in such a disgusted way that he turned back. Eating off chap in Burton today, spitting back gum-chewed gristle. So he remembers that ugly thing, eating off a cold plate. Then a French letter, still in my pocketbook. A French letter is a condom. As you know, these things were always projected to the other. The French do that kind of thing. So a French letter is not a letter in French, it's a condom that Bloom obviously took along just in a happy case. Cause of half the trouble. It's not the French letter that's half the trouble, but the sexual desire causes a lot of trouble. That might happen sometimes, I don't think. Come in. All is prepared, I dreamt. Now he has a dream. What? What's this beginning? How they change the venue when it's not what they like. Ask you, do you like mushrooms? Because she once knew a gentleman who. So again, what do you say? How do you start something? Or ask you what someone was going to say when he changed his mind and stopped. Yet, if I went the whole hog, go all the way. Say, I want to, something like that. Because I did. She too. Offend her. You might go too far. Then make it up. Pretend to want something awfully, then cry off for her sake. Flatter them. She must have been thinking of someone else all the time. And again, Bloom guesses right. She was thinking of Reggie Wiley, her boyfriend. Hold on, no. What harm? Must, since she came to the use of reason. He, and he. They're all kinds of different male relationships. First kiss does a trick. The propitious moment. Something inside him goes pop, mushy-like. Tell by their eye on the sly. First thoughts are best. Remember that till their dying day. Molly, he thinks, and then Lieutenant Mulvey. And to the best of my arrangement, we haven't heard of him. Lieutenant Mulvey that kissed her under this Moorish wall beside the garden. The Moorish wall is in Gibraltar, where, of course, the Arabs, the Moors, were there. And so, here we know for the first time, there was a lieutenant of the British Army, and he was her boyfriend, and they had some experience, probably not all the way, kissed her Moorish wall. And that's, of course, something she remembers, and we will come upon it when we read the last chapter, Mulvey that kissed her under the Moorish wall beside the gardens. 15, she told me, so she told, but her breasts were developed. Fell asleep then. And then after lengthy dinner, that was, that is something else. And we heard of it in the 10th chapter. The lengthy dinner, they were invited. Molly was probably singing, and they had quite lavish food. That was when we drove home the Featherbed Mountain. So he remembers that drive over the Featherbed Mountain. And we heard of it in chapter 10 when Lenehan, who was also sitting on top of the car, was sort of making up with Molly, gnashing her teeth in sleep. Lord Mayor had his eye on her then, the Lord Mayor, Molly. Val Dillon, he was once a Lord Mayor of Dublin. And he was, it seems, apoplectic, that's all. Yeah. So.
There she is with them, down there for the fireworks. My fireworks, up like a rocket, down like a stick. And the children, twins they must be, waiting for something to happen. Want to be grown-ups, dressing in mother's clothes, time enough, understand all the ways of the world. And the dark one with the mop head and the nigger mouth. I knew she could whistle. Mouth made for that. Like Molly. Why that high-class whore in jammies wore a veil only to her nose? Would you mind please telling me the right time? I'll tell you the right time up a dark lane. Say prunes and prisms 40 times every morning, cure for fat lips. Caressing the little boy too. Onlookers see most of the game. Of course they understand birds, animals, babies in their line. Didn't look back when she was going down the Strand. Wouldn't give that satisfaction. Those girls, those lovely seaside girls. Fine eyes she had, clear. It's the white of the eye brings that out, not so much the pupil. Did she know what I... Of course, like a cat sitting beyond a dog's jump. Women, never meet one like that. Wilkins in the high school, drawing a picture of Venus with all his belongings on show. Call that innocence? Poor idiot. His wife has her work cut out for him. Never see them sit on a benchmark wet paint. Eyes all over them. Look under the bed for what's not there. Longing to get the fright of their lives. Sharp as needles they are. When I said to Molly, the man at the corner of Coast Street was good looking, thought she might like. Twigged it once. He had a false arm. Had too. Where did they get that? Typists going up Roger Green stairs two at a time to show her understandings. Handed down from father to mother to daughter, I mean. Bread in the bone. Millie, for example, drying her handkerchief on the mirror to save the ironing. Best place for an ad to catch a woman's eye on a mirror. And when I sent her Molly's paisley shawl to Prescott's, by the way, that ad I must. Carrying on the change in her stocking. Clever little minx. I never told her. Neat way she carries parcels too. Attract men, small things like that. Holding up a hand, shaking it to let the blood flow back when it was red. Who did you learn that from? Nobody. Something the nurse taught me. Oh, don't they know? 3 years old she was in front of Molly's dressing table just before we left Lombard Street West. Me have a nice face. Mullingar, who knows? Ways of the world. Young student. Straight on her pins anyway, not like the other. Still, she was game. Lord, I'm wet. Devil you are. Swell of her calf. Transparent stockings stretched to breaking point. Not like that from today. A.E. Rumpled stockings. Or the one in Grafton Street. White. Wow. Beef to the heel.
No. There she is with them down there for the fireworks. My fireworks. Up like a rocket, down like a stick. And that's again a kind of a short form of the chapter. Up like a rocket and then down like a stick, before and after. And the children, twins, they must be waiting for something to happen. Want to be grown-ups, dressing in mother's clothes. Time enough. Understand all the ways of the world. And the dark one with a mop head and a nigger mouth, that is Sissy Caffrey, mop head. I knew she could whistle. Mouth made that, like Molly. And then he remembers why that high-class whore in jammies wore the veil only to her nose. Now, Jammies was the best restaurant in Dublin, a French one at the time. And he remembers there was a high-class hall. Not that Bloom would be there very often, by the way. Would you mind, please, telling me the right time? That, of course, is one way of approaching somebody. Would you mind telling me the time? I tell you the right time up a dark lane. Say prunes and prisms 40 times every morning, cure for fat lips. To practice speech, you say prunes and prisms, sounds for the lips, then you acquire an elegant speech. Every morning, cure for fat lips. You want to appear to the best. Caressing the little boy too. Onlookers see most of the game. Of course, they understand birds, animals, babies in their line. Didn't look back when she was going down the Strand. Wouldn't give that satisfaction. Those girls, those lovely seaside girls. That is a song about the seaside girls that is connected with Boylan. And it was, you've probably heard it, forgot it. It's a sort of mixed bathing when you suddenly see girls in bathing suits. They look, as you probably saw, for us they look totally ridiculous, but at that time it was exciting. Fine eyes she had, clear, Gertie. It's the white of the eye brings that out, not the much the pupil. Did she know what I did? Of course. Like a cat sitting between a dog's jump. Then he says, women, you never, you never meet a woman like that Wilkins in the high school drawing a picture of Venus with all his belongings and so. And it seems there was somebody named Wilkins in high school who was drawing a picture of Venus, most likely in the nude, with all his belongings on show. Remember, all his belongings on show? When the bass boys, Dollard, borrowed a suit, and they were so tight that Molly thought all his belongings would be on show. So that is probably some kind of exhibitionist or whatever. Call that innocence? Poor idiot. His wife has her work cut out for her. Never see them, women, sit on a bench marked wet paint. Eyes all over them. Look under the bed for what's not there. Longing to get the fright of their lives. Sharp as needles they are. When I said to Molly, the man at the corner of Cuff Street was good looking, thought she might like, twigged, noticed, at once he had a false arm. So Molly sensed something better than he does, more intuition, I take it. Had to. Where do they get that? Type is going up to Roger Green's stairs, two at a time, to show her understanding. So that's a woman in an office going two steps at a time to show her understanding, obviously, a bit of her underclothes. Handed down from father to mother to daughter, I mean. Bred in the bone. What's bred in the bone is part of your constitution, what's bred in your bone. Mm-hmm. Millie, for example, drying her handkerchief on the mirror to save the ironing. Best place for an ad to catch a woman's eye. Mirror. On a mirror. And when I sent her for Molly's paisley shawl at Prescott's, by the way, that ad I must, he has an ad from Prescott's Dyeing Works, carrying home the change in her stocking. Clever little minx. I never told her. Neat way she carried parcels too. Attract men, small thing like that, holding up her hand, shaking it to let the blood flow back when it was red. Who did you learn that from? Nobody. Something the nurse taught me. Oh, don't they know? 3 years old she was in front of Molly's dressing table just before we left Lombard Street West. So Molly, Millie was 3 years old. Lombard Street West was in the Jewish area, which were, as we learned, the happiest times for the couple. Me have a nice face. She's actually said pace, it should be pace. Mullingar, now she's in Mullingar. Who knows? And there's a young student like Bannon. Who knows? Something might happen there. Ways of the world, young student. Straight on her pins, anyway, not like the other, straight on her pins, legs. And I suspect, though, that Millie is in fact proud of her legs. Still, she was game. Lord, I am wet. Devil you are. Swell of her calf, the calf. Transparent stockings stretched to breaking point. Not like that Trump today, A.E. Rumpled stockings. This morning he saw a couple, a woman with, and he saw her stockings are rumpled, and that he didn't like. From today, A.E. Rumpled stockings. Or the one in Grafton Street. These are memories of the day. Right, wow. Beef to the heel. That's another motive that we know first from Millie's letter to her father when she says, at the party, all the beef to the heels were in and beam through the heaths are country girls who do not have elegant legs, but like beef, like cows and all of that. So Millie must think she's different from these country girls. Good.
A monkey puzzle rocket burst, spluttering and darting crackles. Zrads and zrads, zrads, zrads. And Sissy and Tommy run out to sea, and Edie after with the push car. And then Gertie beyond the curve of the rocks. Will she? Watch, watch, see? Look round. She smelt an onion. Darling, I saw all. Lord. Did me good all the same. Off colour after Kernan's, Dignam's. For this relief, much thanks. In Hamlet, that is. Lord, it was all things combined. Excitement. When she leaned back, felt an ache at the bottom of my tongue. Your head, it simply swirls. He's right. Might have made a worse fool of myself, however, instead of talking about nothing. Then I will tell you all. Still, it was a kind of language between us. It couldn't be. No. Gertie, they called her. Might be false name, however, like my and the address Dolphins Bar on the Blind. Her maiden name was Jemima Brown, and she lived with her mother in Irish Town.
Yeah. Then there's an interruption, a rocket, you see, a monkey puzzle rocket burst, spluttering in darting crackles, shrouds, rad, and shrouds, that's the noise of the rocket bursting. At this point, we get a wider view, and Sissy and Tommy run out to sea, and Edie after with a pushcar, and then Gertie beyond the curve of the rocks. So we now see over to them, a widening of the scope. Will she? He thinks. Watch, watch, see, looked round. He wonders whether, as they're leaving, as she looked round, she smelt an onion. That is when you suspect something. Darling, I saw all, he says. Lord. Did me good, all the same. So he's still success. Off colour after Kiernan's. When you're off colour, that is you're low in feeling. And you realise the first part, the Gertie part, is full of colour. Red and blue and fashion and things like that. And the second part has little colour, that kind of thing. So again, you can compare the two halves and you would see many similarities and differences. Did me good all the same after Kiernan's, the Cyclops chapter. Dignam's, and Dignam, of course, the visit to the Dignam family, that was also not very uplifting or sad. And then Bloom thinks, for this relief, much thanks. I don't know whether you recognize something there. For this relief, much thanks. That is one of the earliest lines in Hamlet. It begins on top of the castle when there's an exchange of the guard. And the old guard leaving says, for this relief, much thanks. And you can go home and sleep. But Bloom now applies it to his physical relief. Mustn't you see? This wasn't what Shakespeare wrote, but it's interesting that whenever you read Shakespeare again, it will be very hard not to think of that. That's another technique that you put something into a different context and all of that. For this relief, much thanks. In Hamlet, that is, Lord. It was all things combined, excitement. When she leaned back, felt an ache at the butt of my tongue. That's the kind of feeling. Your head, it simply swirls. And that is the line from the Seaside Girls, those lovely Seaside Girls. Your head, it simply swirls. And of course, and if you look at the Seaside Girls, or if you look at Gertie's legs, he's right. Whoever he is, Boylan, might have made a worse fool of myself, however. Instead of talking about nothing, then I will tell you all. Still, it was a kind of language between us. So it is quite true. There is a kind of rapport. They did understand, for all the delusions and the projections and things like that, there was a kind of understanding, and somebody, a young girl, saw in Bloom somebody attractive, only in her mind, and not somebody unwanted or things like that. So then it couldn't be who? Well, remember, in Bloom picked up a letter written by Martha Clifford, if that's her right name, and anyone, because we don't know who wrote the letter, could be Martha Clifford. So he said, it couldn't be. No, Gertie, they called her. So he remembers her first name. Might be a false name, however. So you do not necessarily give the wrong name. She might be writing on, like my, because he wrote as Henry Flower. And the Dolphin's Barn, a blind is a wrong address. So he thinks, who knows whether the letter he got is really from a particular person with that name, or even at all what is called a blind. Dolphin's Barn, a blind. And then he remembers a song. Her maiden name was Demina Brown, and she lived with her mother in Irishtown. That is a song, we don't know what, and it's probably from a different place, but Irishtown is where he was in the morning, Irishtown. Dolphin's Barn is another suburb. So there's a song that comes to his mind, and she lived with her mother in Irishtown. And that is a good place to stop, because the passage are very long, and I always get a little bit tired from all of this. So now you see, we have a different tone, easier to follow for a brief, afterwards a little bit sober, a bit muted, a bit low-key, and we have here two perspectives, Gertie McDowell, romantic blues, more sober and all of it. But it is an encounter that did give Bloom some gratification, because so far he's always been disappointed. And as he says, must be grateful for small mercies. Anyway, that's this particular chapter. You see, it's quite different in tone and all of that, and we reckon, and relatively easy to follow, which may change pretty soon. Okay, have a good week and a good summer. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.